Welcome to Phantom Podcast Network. This is Legal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of 1980s action cinema. Celebrating the heroes of yesterday, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Van Damme, all the way down to, of course, the big great action films that we all enjoyed on VHS, and of course, Betamax, with the loves of American Ninja, all the way through to Cyborg Cop and beyond. Here at Phantom Podcast Network's Legal Mullet Podcast, join Adam O'Brien as we celebrate action movie cinema. Up next on the Legal Mullet Podcast, join your host, the Mullet, as he chats about the Roland Emmerich classic from 1990, made in Germany, starring the one and only Malcolm McDowell up against Michael Paré, with attack helicopters going after mining goods on our forest moon. It is Moon 44.
Here in the Quillen's Cantina, that's right, the drums are finished, we don't need them no more. So, first of all, welcome to Legal Mullet Podcast. This is the core and main podcast in the Legal Mullet Network, which is going to be launched in about 2 weeks' time, is attached to FPN as they branch out now with our own network. Legal Mullet will be, of course, the main, and of course, there's a bunch of other podcasts which are going to be attached to this new channel. You already know, of course, a couple of those here on the show. We have, of course, Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast with my dear pal and yours, Martin Yebold, James Semple, and of course, occasionally Rob Wainfer as well, chatting Star Trek, deep dive in Star Trek lore. Leave the Mullet podcast, looking at a celebration of Star Wars. Different podcast back, sorry. The stars of the 1980s and 1990s, and even in the 2000s, we're looking at some really interesting ones coming up. Obviously tonight, Moon 44, we're going to be looking at some older Rutger Hauer movies as well, Split Second very, very soon. We're also going to be looking at Zone Troopers very soon, which is actually a very interesting movie, which starred Tim Thomason, and of course it's one of the Charles Band ones that, from the creator of Trances and many of the other B-grades, which are made for next to nothing. But they're very entertaining. There's even a Mecca one, folks, so we're going to be talking about that as well soon. But before we get into that, let's let you know how you can catch this podcast and many others like it. So
the number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is...
G'day, my name's Gowan. Follow the Legal Mullet here on Phantom Podcast Network's master channel at fbnet.podbean.com, or subscribe on the Podbean app, where you can find all the shows. Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Culture Clash, a weekly look at pop culture. New look at Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast. And also check out The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe from me, the Legal Mullet. You can also check out this show and all the others, like What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, and much, much more. All on FPN. You can follow on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all podcatchers. Make sure you follow me, The Legal Mullet, at The Legal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Now it's time for the latest action news from the cinema and martial arts movies and more, all here on the Legal Mullet Podcast. The Legal Mullet Network will still have ties to FPN, where you're going to be able to see Legal Mullet Podcast on there, but it'll be so many days after we put it out on this new network. So if you subscribe to FPN, you will still get Legal Mullet Podcast and Making Treks. The rest of the shows, obviously Lethal, still being part of that. We will have other shows, like, of course, The Mullet Guild here on the network, looking at Dune. We've also got a brand new one called Mullet and Kilt. And, of course, the Kilt being a dear friend of ours, all the way from Aberdeen in Scotland, the one, the only, of course, Greg Robertson, better known as Darth Elvis. Of course, he's a fellow Fantha Tracker, as I'm part of that group as well.
And we're going to be chatting music on the, our first episode just got recorded the other day, and it is all about Prince. Of course, everything from Purple Rain to Bat Dance to Gold, you name it. We talk about everything of the late great musician, and it's a hell of a fun 30 minutes. And that's going to be happening once a month on that network, where we look at, I think one of the next ones will be Iron Maiden, Faith No More, bands like this that we grew up with, musicians, you name it, legends. We're going to be looking at all of it here on, of course, the network. Of course, you also have a brand new weekly show in there, which is what I got tongue-tied about before. It's, of course, Bando Mullet. And Bando Mullet is going to be great because we're looking at not only the Star Wars of now, the Star Wars of old as well. Like Banking Tricks, this is going to be a deep dive into what you love about Star Wars and everything else. So currently you can find it at FanPod Network on, of course, Podbean on the app. You can also find it at, also, if you look out through, of course, any of your podcatchers, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. You can also find it, obviously, iHeartRadio and anywhere you actually catch your podcasts. So many catches, hundreds of them out there, folks. So you can try those. Also, you can find me, The Luther Mullet, at The Luther Mullet on here, on Facebook, and, of course, Twitter and Instagram. Particularly on Instagram, I put a lot of photos of some of the stuff that we look at here, and whether it's collections that we've got or different stuff that we're finding around the place that we... movies that we'll watch and stuff like that. So there's a lot of commentary in there. The Twitter channel you'll find mainly a lot of the links to episodes, some stuff we catch up with fellow podcasters and vice versa on the FanPod Network as well. That's where you can find that, of course, on Twitter too, at FanPod Network for FPN. Obviously, there's a massive channel now with many other shows, and you can find that there. Obviously, too, all hosted on Podbean, this great network. Now, Podbean's got its own app. If you download that, you get the shows automatically. So definitely worth doing. So a little bit of news. Obviously, too, news that we're going to give you over the next couple of weeks is going to do with different movies upcoming so that you guys can maybe go and watch those movies and then get the insight from us here at the show. We give you all the trivia, stuff that may not even realized was in those movies. Movies like Mission of Justice by, of course, the one, the only, Jeff Wincott. Now, remember, back in the 1990s, there was two Jeffs. You could get Jeff Speakman, which was the Kenpo master now, obviously, Ed Parker's Kenpo in Australia. Australia, we call it Kenpo 5.0, I think, out now here. And obviously, he is an absolute master of that art with, of course, Perfect Weapon knocking it out of the gate in the second movie, Street Night. He did a succession of other films that weren't quite as... I suppose successful, but Perfect Weapon, which we've covered here in a previous episode, folks, so go and check that out in the back catalogue, really shows Kenpo Karate for what it is. It's an amazing mixture of ancient Kung Fu and, of course, hijinks of Karate of today. And, of course, even now the melding of things like Jiu-Jitsu and stuff like that into, and obviously Jeff is still teaching all that today, so go and check that out. So we're looking at some of his stuff too. Street Night is one that's been requested, so we'll definitely dig that out, give it a watch, and see how we go from there. There's a number of other ones too that we've been looking at too that are of call. And of course, one of those is Bill and Ted's Face the Music, which I've been asked by a couple of listeners to take a look at. We will down the line. But Lee Fillingsness, of course, my co-host of Mando Mullet podcast, and he's also the co-host of Blood of Kings, has suggested that we look at Karate Kid and Karate Kid 2 and Karate Kid 3 and perhaps some Cobra Kai. So FBN's already covered this on one of their other main shows, but not from the martial arts side. Now, as you know, Lee is a pretty much a master. I say it, he's a master martial artist. A lot of his styles are in the Korean school, so obviously Taekwondo, Hapkido. He's even studied sword work over there, very similar to Kendo. So he's well-versed, whereas my styles have all been in the Japanese Budo realm. So Aikido, Karate, and Tokugawa Ninjutsu under the Bujinkan schools. So different, but the same. But at the same time, it's going to be interesting coming from people that have actually studied in the styles over the years, and particularly watching what is meant to be Karate on screen. So we'll look at it from a technical level as well as obviously... movies themselves. So something a little bit different, and that's definitely upcoming very, very soon, especially while Cobra Kai is still on. And there's some great spoilers out there if you do stay on the web and you haven't seen season 3. So be be careful, because it's better to watch these as they are. They really are worth waiting for to get through too. So without a doubt, check it out. All right, so let's head into the main part tonight, folks. We'll be talking about, of course, this bad boy. Now, I've had this movie on DVD and had it on DVD for probably about 5 or 6 years. It's been a while that I've had it. And that's great. But I wanted to get the original case, which, of course, is the VHS. As you can hear, the VHS in there is pretty hefty. And, of course, as it says, Michael Paré, Lisa Acorn, and Malcolm McDowell star in it. But really, it should say Leon Rippey, Brian Thompson, and friends, because it really is great. We've got Michael Paré from Streets of Fire, they say in this one, so that's what he's known for more in this film. Malcolm McDowell, obviously, Clockwork Orange. What do they say in this one? He's Malcolm McDowell, Blue Thunder. Well, there you go. Well, there's probably a reason why. Something to do with helicopters. If you haven't seen Blue Thunder, it's basically a police thriller starring, obviously, Malcolm McDowell, and Roy Scheider is in it as well. Plays a police chopper pilot. He's a Vietnam vet, I think, if I remember in it too. And yeah, they've got a high-tech chopper in it. And it's one that's kind of, I think they actually made it. Actually, if I remember, they made that chopper. We should actually probably do Blue Thunder on this. It's not one of my favourite movies, but it's certainly an interesting action film from the time. The fact that they basically mocked up from a chopper, put all these extra parts on, I suppose, like they do with things like the Batmobiles and stuff like that. And we've got these pretty cool choppers, put it that way, the Blue Thunder. And this is pretty much a sci-fi version of that, if you like, folks. This is about a bunch of crooks, or convicts in this case, who get a chance at freedom, or at least lessening their sentences, by travelling to a planet where they're going to be pilots for basically an armed escort for mining shuttles in this place. So very much, it feels like it could be part of the Blade Runner universe, if you like. It's set in the late 2030s, and it's got that sort of really smoky blue atmosphere. If anything, it's almost like James Cameron just came in and went, this is how you should light a scene. Because it really feels like it, it's that there's smoky corridors, it's got the blue everywhere. Look, see, blue. Blue everywhere. But the choppers are very interesting. They're sort of, you can see, obviously, they made at least one prop version of it. Which is in most of the scenes in the hangar. They've got the one. They're probably using a mirror to make it look like they've got more of them as well. And it's an interesting take, you know, again, on a futuristic helicopter. To me, it looks way too small. But back in 1990, I thought it was the duck's nuts. I really did. So, well, let's go on the blurb. Trying to see if I can read this in my best trailer voice. The year is 2038. Gigant. Intergalactic corporations have taken control of the universe, locked in a ruthless battle for distant planets where men and robots mine the priceless chemicals that are now Earth's only source of fuel. Space pirates are systematically hijacking the vital space shuttles from the Moon 44 mining base, which is also the location of an experimental defense program using highly advanced helicopter gunships. It is undercover investigator Felix Stone's task to hunt down the hijackers. Mysterious. So Felix Stone, or as Stone pretty much is what we know him as, is Michael Paré's character. And what Michael Paré does in it is really cool. He basically becomes a convict to go to find out what's happening on this corrupt mining base, if you like. And it's great because it's got one of those things where you're going to have to get to know characters. It's a little bit like Outland. If anything, this is Outland with helicopters. It really is. So it was shot in 1990. Obviously, it's from Centropolis Film Productions, directed by Roland Emmerich and starring Michael Paré. Now, Paré at the time was pretty much the coolest person out there when it came to the look. He acted cool in each role, and there was a certain rebellious streak going through him as well, I think, in some of those roles that he had. But he sold the character. No matter where you see him, you know, there was something there. There was a spark with the audience, a charisma. And in this one, he's just playing this sort of, I think, down on his luck agent, one that should be probably in a better place, is smarter than pretty much everyone out there. I mean, he's reading, is it Shakespeare? I think that's why they call him Shakespeare in one of the scenes in the film, to stir him up. But again, it's, he's a pretty gifted when it comes to being smart and stuff like that. His intelligence far exceeds the people around him. And that's what makes it interesting. Part of that is that the convicts are paired with teenage technicians, which makes it interesting because we get to meet somebody that's going to be part of basically Roland Emmerich's production team moving forward. And that is, of course, somebody that is really the cornerstone of films like Stargate and others down the line, Independence Day. And that is, of course, Dean Devlin, who plays pretty much the head of the teenage people in this, called Tyler, and he's the one that's been calling for an agent to come. So he's the one that basically liaises with Stone. Let's look at the rest of the cast. So we've got Lisa Eichhorn as Terry Morgan. Really don't know too much about Lisa's background prior to this. She's done a little bit of TV by the look of it, and worked in theatre as well. So nothing that I cut his way. She was in with Jeff Bridges. All Night Long, some Gene Hackman work as well, 1980. So not a lot that I'm familiar with, to be honest. The one I am familiar with is the next one down. That is, of course, playing Jake O'Neill. Hey, could this be a distant relative to somebody in Stargate? That is, of course, Brian Thompson's character in this. Now, Brian Thompson's great. We all know his roles, obviously, in Terminator. Wash day tomorrow, nothing clean, right? He's got that part. And bit parts in like Wrong Bet, maybe we should lay all our cards on the table, that guy. And then obviously he's been in a number of other stuff too that you've seen, Babylon 5, I think he's in the sequel series, The Crusade. He's been Klingon a number of times, he's been in Star Trek as a Romulan. He's just one of those actors that's around the place. And a well-learned martial artist. I do believe he's a senior black belt in Hapkido. So Jean-Claude Van Damme and others that he's been in bit parts films with, he could probably go toe-to-toe, if not lock you up and put you in a nice little armbar or something like that, and you ain't getting up. Because this guy sounds like he's a bit more the business than you guys, I can tell you that. Brian Thompson's cool. Obviously, better known by, let's just say, he's got to say it is Reitzel's favourite film. Hey man, that's right, you, Kevin. This is one of your favorite films that Sylvester Stallone did, and that's, of course, Cobra. And Brian Thompson played the main bad guy, the villain, going after Bridget Nielsen in it. But he's just he's a force of nature. He's a fantastic, particularly in this, there's a real character arc. He comes in as a convict that's down, again, he on his luck as well, and does not care and wants to cause a muck, but he's a professional. That's what's about this character. He's a bully, etc., but he's a professional crook. You can tell by the way he's going through. And then towards the end of it, Stone and him have this certain level of respect that you definitely see, and they do care about what's going to happen. Leon Rippey. I'm just coming out with emotion. Just feeling it. Leon Rippey. Well, I just think he's a fantastic actor. He played, obviously, Tom Nuttall in Deadwood. And John Billings in The Patriot, which we all know well. But it's the other movies. Let's have a look at it. So The Lone Ranger, Universal Soldier, obviously an underrated role for him. And when I look back on it, I don't even realise it's him. Obviously, he plays the scientist that's looking after the Unisols in the truck and worked for Edo Ross's character. Let's see, he's been in Star Trek The Next Generation, Quantum Leap, Walker, Texas Ranger, Werewolf, Leverage, 6 Feet Under, Deadwood, North and South, Alcatraz, Saving Grace. So he's been in a lot of stuff, let's put it that way. But it's one here, I've got to dig it up, which year it came, here we go. Young Guns 2 as Bob Olinger. Regulators! What happened to this guy? So, let's have a think about it. Bob Olinger, of course, in Young Guns 2, is the guy that's basically holding in the courthouse upstairs. Billy Bonney is, of course, Henry McCarty, Billy the Kid, alias Billy the Kid, that is, for obviously his time in court waiting for hanging. And what's interesting is Bob is the guy that leaves his shotgun on the side filled with dimes, and he's going to obviously lay it down if he does anything wrong. And of course, he gets it as soon as the kid gets free. And that's quite an interesting scene, and it's a true scene. It's actually something that did happen at the time too. So let's look at it. 1992, Plain Kane. And we've covered this movie, so you know that we are the business about this. And that is, of course, Cuffs. So he played the villain in Cuffs. He's really good in Cuffs. It's, again, one of those funny villains that actually has the real spark. You know, that, he's a bad guy, but at the same time, he has respected the main guy. In that case is, of course, Christian, what's his name? It'll come to me, folks. It's a late day. But obviously, too, he's been a lot of other films that you remember. Obviously, Stargate here is a small part as the general at the start as well, too, giving out the noise. But I think the strength here is that he plays offbeat villains. He plays them well, and we really get a feel for the material, what we're going through, and he sort of lays out everything quite well. We've got Stephen Jeffries as Cookie, Malcolm McDowell as Major Lee. Major Lee. Well, in this, he's pretty much, I mean, I think Malcolm's always good, but in this, he plays a pen pusher, pretty much. Like, he's somebody behind the scenes that's not really doing a lot. But what is interesting about the scenes that he does have, he's keeping a really good face for the official company that they're working for and stuff like that. So that at least makes it interesting when he does. You do see the turn that he is corrupt and he's the Bane bad guy, basically. Then we have Joe Chen Nickel as Scooter and Roscoe Lee Brown as Chairman Hall. So the movie came out in 1990, February 15, but out here in Australia and the US, it was direct to video. So we've gone straight to this little bad boy here. But what's interesting about it is the release out here in Australia. This film in particular had a massive VHS promotion, huge, it was massive. I do believe it was Civic Video at the time, Civic Video and Video Easy, which were running these all over. And what was happening was that you would go into the place and you have the huge cardboard dividers with the character. So you'd have Felix Stone standing up, and next to it was basically a breakdown of the chopper, the planet, and all that sort of stuff. Straight away, I was taken. I'm like, wow, this is dark sci-fi. This is cool. This is going to be awesome. And the helicopters themselves, what they looked like to me was, if anyone's followed Robotech or Southern Cross, they looked a lot like the Ajax attack helicopter, which was pretty much the new mecha that came in there about three quarters of the way through the show and just stole the fun from everyone else and took it all for themselves. And of course, it's a transformable helicopter, jet fighter sort of thing. But it looks very much like this, pretty much. Which, it's like a futuristic, I suppose, Cobra or Apache gunship, whatever you want to call it. Looking back on it now, watched it a couple of weeks ago again, and it looked good on VHS. I'll give it that. Even some of the models that you see through going up against the robot fighters, they look good. But they look legit. So they look, especially a lot of the scenes, you're seeing a lot of dark shadow coming across, some very filtered smoky lights. You can obviously tell they're trying to hide a lot of the cheapness of the effects, but it's what they didn't do that probably annoyed me more watching it again, and that is, of course, they didn't add new shots. So the pans and stuff like that were just relays or reverses of previous shots, so that's the only downtime it comes to really feeling like it was cheaper than really was. But again, it wasn't the effects that start bringing me back, it's the characters. Particularly Jake and Felix, so Stone and O'Neill. So Thompson in this, obviously, is the lead, of the convicts. And, he's not necessarily out for the same time these guys are doing. He wants to be free. He'll do whatever he can to do that. And he's not letting these teenagers get in the way of it. And the whole story is about them sort of coming together and working together. Because it's the only way they're going to get through these tight hairpin turns that they're going to go through. Even if you look at a Star Wars perspective, this is almost like when Luke and Wedge and Windy would have been doing all the stuff in Beggar's Canyon. It's pretty much like that, but tighter. It's very much, you know, like if you're flying your helicopter straight, there's a wall coming around. You can't really see it because it's so dark, but you've got to use, obviously, the navigation work by these teenage technicians to let them go through. So a lot of that is getting that together, and Dean Devlin's the head of that, working alongside Felix Stone. So Tyler and Felix also then working together to find out what's going on behind the scenes, who's rigging the fighters, who's stealing stuff, and who's making profit on the side. So it is pretty much Blade Runner with helicopters, but how does it go on the Hallenbeck scale, folks? Well, I'm going to tell you this. On the Hallenbeck scale, it gets a 3.75 out of 5. It's good. It's not about the effects. It's not about, you know, the huge scale of it, because it's not huge. What is a simple story told well. And that's what I think, you know, this director has always done. Stargate, obviously, everything went bigger, more, I think, if anything, a little bit more mainstream. Universal Soldier certainly was heading that way, because at the time it was the alpha male time of Dolph Lundgren and Van Damme and, you know, Ralph Moeller. Well, Ralph Moeller in that massive steak, in the that scene in the supermarket. It was fantastic, you know. Especially Dolph walking in there, he's got two dead bodies. He goes, "Hey, where's the freezer?" The poor kid sitting there labeling meat, and he goes, "Ah, that way, mate." Which is just great. It's fantastic. But you know, look, again, it's their movie. This movie. Same thing. It's a simple story told well. It's a cop procedural thriller, really, at its heart. And it's told well. This is up there with, you know, to me, Outland. That's how good it is, folks. So, well, hope you enjoyed that, and stay tuned. Next couple of weeks, obviously, big news with the change to the new format. It's only about mid-February. You'll see logos going up, and obviously still find us all at the same place here too. And then we'll be moving into Karate Kid very, very soon, folks, with Lee Fillings. There's Norwegian Smooth right here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. All right, folks, I hope you have a great week and a great weekend. We'll catch you next time.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsus on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.